Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 148 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, The Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com. And I'm back live for once. We're recording this live again on Twitch, so that's nice. So if you're watching along live, make sure you post your questions in the chat. We'll get to those at the end. The podcast is made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, can get access to my full TSM setup. So if you're interested in that, head on over to patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And join us. So, let's dive in. So this today's episode, we're going to talk about something that happened very recently. I even tweeted about it. I think even it was today. Because I recently had an experience where I was reminded that you don't know everything, even though you might think you do. So what has happened on my realm is that someone had undercut the item level 230 crafted gear, the crafter's mark of the chained isle, from jewel crafting to a very low level. So I've been selling these items for somewhere between 4,500 and 5,000 gold, and suddenly the price was down to 2,800 gold. This is below my personal crafting cost. So this was very cheap, and I was very surprised, because this guy is also, he was posting volume. It's just not one. He was doing this across all of the items, and he had like 8 of each ring or necklace out. So this was surprising. This would indicate someone was willing to lose gold, because they'd crushed the entire market. So my instinct was that this is either some kind of mistake, unlikely with that amount of volume, but it could happen. Or a dedicated auction house PvP tactic where they're willing to take the loss to get other players out of the market. And I talked a little bit about what I'd seen on the market review video I did for September, where I went through the markets, and that was one of the things I talked about, because that was one of the things that I was seeing specifically on my realm, where in the crafter's mark of the chained isle gear market. And then the guy who was doing it, he actually saw the video and he commented on why he was doing it. And it was not someone being stupid. It was not someone just doing it for auction house PvP reasons. It was someone who had really figured out something smart and who was like crushing me. Because what this guy has realized is that he could get his crafter's marks way cheaper than me, and undercut everyone. Because apparently the alchemy crafter's marks are incredibly cheap. I haven't calculated the price, but he said that he was at 2,800 gold, he was making 500 gold per item. At 4,500 gold, I was making like 600-700 gold per item using blacksmithing and jewel crafting for the crafter's marks. So it's a huge... the crafting cost for crafter's mark of the chained isle from alchemy has to be in like the 2,000 gold range or something like that, 2,500. Which is a lot lower than the 4,500 that I'm... or 4,000-ish I'm seeing for my crafter's marks. So I would have been making a loss, and they were making a huge profit. So someone had discovered an optimization that I just didn't know about. I didn't know you could do that. I hadn't bothered checking it. Now, imagine if I decided to try to reset this market. Imagine that. They're making 500 gold profit per item. They'll just keep spamming those out and selling them. They're like, okay, someone's buying them en masse for 500 gold profit? Yeah, I'll take that every day of the week. I'll just sell those. I'll just move those real, real fast. They'll be sitting lining their pockets on their competition forever. That's one of the reasons why you need to have a lot of information if you want to do resets. You can really trip yourself up. I was considering resetting it, but I decided against it. I think this is just going to be temporary and this demand is going to sustain a higher price. Now I'm not so sure. Because what he is doing... the barrier to entry is actually quite large. It depends a little bit on your profession setup. You need Archivist Codex rank 4 on a character to get that has alchemy to get these cheap crafter's marks. So you need at least one tier 4 Arceus Codex character. Now, you just need one, actually, because what you can do, that someone else clued me in on, is that you can just have that guy with alchemy. Then you can swap out, rotate between the other professions. So you max out leatherworking, and then you craft like 50, 100 of each leatherworking item with the crafter's mark of the chained elf from alchemy, and then you drop leatherworking and you pick up jewel crafting. And you level jewel crafting, and then you craft a bunch of rings and gems. You mail those out, and then you swap over to blacksmithing, and then you do that, and then you can just rinse and repeat and just go circles whenever you need to. So you do, in fact, just need one crafter's mark guy, but it depends on what else you're doing, right? I have four crafters, or I have three characters that are tier 4 with Arceus Codex, and I can't swap professions on any of them. Because two of them, blacksmithing jewel crafting, and tailoring leatherworking, these are my legendary crafters. I've spent literally like 30 million leveling all the legendary recipes to level 30, or to rank 4. I'm not going to do that again. So those are off the table. And then it's my warlock, who is alchemy engineering. He is alchemy, so I could technically do it. But I have so many old world recipes on engineering that I don't want to lose. Like I have a bunch of mount recipes, a bunch of useful stuff. So I'd rather not lose that. So I'd rather not use that. So that's very annoying for me. Like, I can't compete with that efficiently without grinding another character through Corthia, which I'm just not going to do. So we'll see how... Hopefully this doesn't get too widespread, because then I'll be really, really in trouble in the Crafter's Mark gear market. But yeah, this person is onto a fantastic find, because if you were optimizing your crafters to minimize time to market initially, which is why I have the crafters I do. All of my crafters are in fact new characters for Shadowlands. But I set up my profession so that I would have the fastest time to market. I would be very quick to get all professions up and running. So I have one crafter on one account and then one crafter on the other account for the legendary crafters, for instance. So yeah, I'm not just gonna be... I can't compete unless I level a new level 60 and grind Corthia up to tier 4. And even if I wanted to do that, which I don't because I'm bored as hell with Corthia, I could even barely do Corthia on my main where I can get power increases from that. I am tier 5 or approaching tier 6. So even if I wanted to do it, it would take me a couple of weeks to get there. So he has this to himself until people figure out what he's doing. Some people are going to be able to drop professions and target him. Some people won't. They'll be in my boat, where they're unwilling or unlikely to be competing with him. Now, either way, he definitely outsmarted me and a lot of other people. Like what he said, he was getting all the sales because no one was undercutting him, because no one could afford that. Everyone else was making expensive items. Yeah, I saw an anomaly on the market, but I did not have the information to understand what was actually happening. So that's a nice lesson on the fact that just because something looks stupid does not mean it is. Other players, they're not competing with you directly with the same conditions that you have. They don't face the same limitations you face. They might face harsher limitations or harder limitations in some ways, and they might have it easier in other ways. But they're not competing on the exact same conditions that you are. Posting times, profession setups, character access, all of this stuff will make for a different competitive basis. And now this guy has an unassailable advantage until someone else gets alchemy-based crafter's marks in the jewel crafting market. Some of the recipes keep bouncing up above 4,500. I think some people are trying to reset them out, I'm guessing. Which he'll be very happy about. I mean, he's going to make so much money from this. But he's going to crush it. Because he figured this thing out. And everyone who can't or won't fix their setup to compete with him, they're not going to be able to. It's very easy to get stuck on your own assumptions. Like I did. I've been keeping my approach very static since Shadowlands launched in many ways. And someone has figured out how he can lock me out of the chainmail gear market unless I make some significant effort. Of course, that one guy is going to have a hard time controlling the entire market. Like, he's going to log out off for the night, and all of his stuff is going to sell, and then you can start undercutting, or undercutting at a more reasonable price again. But when he comes online again, he's going to bring the price straight down again. What this means is you should never stop looking for optimizations. And obviously, in some cases, the best short-run optimizations are going to not be optimal long-term. Now, I still think that my setup was the correct approach. Like, the amount of money I've made through legendaries and through the getting all of the crafter's mark of the chain dial gear earlier than I would have if I'd have had a third crafter was probably worth it. Now, what I could have done is I could have leveled another level 60 character on my second account and keep him in my back pocket just on follow as I'm running around in Corthia on my warlock. I might actually do that. I just need to get a level 60 characters. But if I'd gone back, I would have done the same thing. I would have done the same approach. Because I think that's overall better. But now it's obviously a lot worse for the crafter's mark of the chain dial market specifically. Now, if I didn't have a lot of recipes that I want to keep on my warlock, since this is a character that I've had for a long, long time, then I would also have just dropped engineering and utilized my warlock with the rotating setup that I talked about earlier. But honestly, it's fine. I'll find something else to do. I'll live with it. I also know my limits and my preferences, and I know that I can motivate myself to do these kinds of grinds like once to get quickly to market and make gold early on. Going in short bursts, I can motivate myself for that. And then I like slowing down my efforts a little bit and going into a more steady state of just maintaining my crafting setup, maintaining my my restocking and auction house operations, and not going like absolute full tilt all the time. I don't really enjoy the farm, Corthia farm, particularly either. So yeah, someone who was willing to put in more effort beat me, and a lot of other people who are probably in my boat. So yeah, I'm impressed with not necessarily like it probably isn't that hard to figure out, but just like the willingness to still experiment, still like actually take a look at another look at the numbers. Like, I calculated the crafting cost of all of the crafter's marks early on. I could probably find that spreadsheet and run the calculation again and see how insanely profitable this is. But yeah, he was looking in the right place. He was doing this analysis still and realized that he could take a lot advantage of it. And now he's making out like a bandit and pretty much controlling the market. So that's what I wanted to talk about with the lack of information that I was sitting at. So now we're going to take some questions. I have one that I've already written up, and if you have any from chat, now's the time to post them if you haven't already. So this is from one of my patrons. Hey, just curious how you figure out what the best time to post auctions is. And then he goes on to say that there are four time zones on the realm that he plays on, and curious what other people's strategies are. So generally speaking, the best time to post is whenever you can. That's the first answer. Obviously, as often as you can repost and can be bothered reposting. Now, if you can pick and choose, the best time to post is whenever you have the most buyers available. More people online to buy your stuff means more chance that your auctions are the one to sell, because they'll sell before before someone comes and undercuts you. Of course, everyone else knows this. The times where most people are online is also going to be the time where most of your competition is online. But it's still going to be the same. It's going to be from about 4 or 5 in the afternoon until 10, 11 at night. This is usually the peak hours on weekdays for when people are playing. For certain items, particularly from like 6 to 8, which is just before raid time, is really, really good. This is for stuff like consumables and chance gems, where a lot of people might be looking to make sure they have everything ready for raid if they've gotten some upgrades, or whatever. and then slightly longer on the weekends. In addition, you have the weekly reset cycle, which has a lot, a large effect on a lot of markets. It does vary a little bit between Burning Crusade and retail if you're playing BC Classic. I find that the weekly reset has a little bit less effect on retail, or on Classic, I mean. But you're definitely going to see more consumable sales just after the reset, and you're going to see a lot of consumable sales on the most popular raiding days on your realm. So you can take a look at that on if you're playing TBC Classic. Just pay attention to trade chat. When are guilds raiding? What's the most popular day? That's going to be the most important day to post your consumables. And to make sure you have stuff like gems ready for just after raid, when people get back to the auction house and they're going to gem their upgrades. So that's important for TBC. If we're talking retail WoW, the weekly reset is huge, not just for consumables. Because we have Soul Ash and Soul Cinders that reset once a week, the demand for everything is pretty much much, much higher after the reset. People also get the vault, which means that they're now going to change their gear a little bit. Maybe they now want to move their Chaindial Crafter's Mark gear to another slot because they got the vault upgrade for the slot they had the Chaindial item in. For instance, I mean, I'm still wearing a Chaindial crafted gear on my Warlock. That's approaching like 245 item level. Because I haven't gotten an upgrade in that slot yet. So yeah, definitely the weekly reset day. That's when you really want to post, particularly consumables and anything that has that's related to the weekly reset. That's going to be gear, legendaries, enchants. On the reset day is huge, and then for TBC, focus a little bit more on whenever guilds on your realm are raiding. So on my classic realm, it used to be Sundays was one of the best days for consumables, because it was by far the most popular raiding day on that realm, and I was making so much money on Sundays just posting my consumables. And obviously, just think about when are people going to need the items you sell. Is it something they use for raiding? Okay, they're going to need that for raiding, so you need to post it just before raid, because that's where when they might be buying them. Of course, they'll buy. People are buying things all the time. So you should always post. It's not like, okay, it's past 9, so there's no point in posting consumables. No, that's not the case. That's still the point. It's still worth it. Post whenever you can, and then prioritize posting things relative to when they're used, which means consumables just before raid. Enchants and gems just after raid often. Legendaries just after the weekly reset when people get their Soul Ash and so forth. Just think about when are people going to need your items, when are they going to look to buy them, and then you prioritize posting around those times. So that's going to be it, guys, for this episode, because we didn't get any questions from chat. Make sure you post some, guys. So yeah, that'll be it. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for watching or listening. If you're not listening to this live, then you can find the episode on YouTube, Spotify, and on the blog, linked on the blog at thelazygoldmaker.com. And we'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye, guys.